one almost swamped us.
You brought us through many a storm on this lake, Peter. You can do it this time, can't you?
I've never been in a storm like this. Heave on the oars. We must find the cove, quick.
Oh, listen to that wind. I've never heard it so strong before. How can I keep this boat facing the waves? It's impossible. I can't.
Go!
Daniel, take the bucket. Bail! We're going under. Heave on the oars.
Watch out. Here comes another big wave.
Oh, we won't make it.
Hello, boys and girls.
And hello, moms and dads. We're so happy you've joined us, too, for another story from the time of Jesus.
I especially like stories from that time, Uncle Dan. And this one sounds like the most exciting one so far.
In many ways it is, for the lives of the disciples and Jesus seem to be in great danger. I call this story...
Stormy Times.
Jesus had spent a very busy day by the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Here he had spoken his first parables. All day he had ministered to the large crowd, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and new strength to the crippled. Even as night drew on, the crowds continued to gather about him. It had been a very tiring day, and now Jesus and the disciples needed rest. But how to get away from so many people?
Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by a fisherman. He casts a net into the water and gathers in fish of every kind, valuable and worthless. When the net is full, he drags it up onto the beach and sits down and sorts out the edible ones into crates and throws the others away. This is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the godly, casting the wicked into the fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you understand?
Yes, we do, Lord.
What do you think, John? The sun is setting. Jesus must be tired.
Oh, I agree, Peter. I couldn't have done it. He's been going since morning, preaching and healing and teaching.
And the crowds still come. What can we do?
Well, Jesus mentioned earlier that he wanted to go across the lake. Look, here he comes now.
Is your boat ready, Peter?
Yes, Master.
I'm weary. Let's find some place to rest across the lake.
We can row across in a matter of a few hours.
Yes.
It's only 5 or 6 miles.
We'll leave now for the other side and come back tomorrow.
Good. Yes, right. Give us a chance to cool off.
Come along, man. Let's go. Master, why don't you rest in the back of the boat on the steerman's bench? I've caught a nap there many times.
Look, some of the people are getting into their boats and getting ready to follow us. Can't we ever get away for a quiet rest?
Well, they won't follow long. It's getting dark. Almost a moonless night. Okay, man. James, John, Andrew, let's put our muscles into those oars. Not enough wind to fill the sails yet. Many nights we've spent like this, huh? I wonder how many fish we've caught in our nets since we started.
Enough to feed all of Galilee.
Enough to feed all of Rome. You look at that. Jesus is already sleeping.
Well, the rocking of the boat and that gentle breeze could put me to sleep, too.
Strange. The stars are out, but only in the south. Looks like clouds coming from the north.
The breeze seems a little stronger, too, from the northeast.
That could spell a storm brewing. Hope we get across and into a safe cove before it blows. Heave to it. All together now.
You know, I haven't eaten supper. My stomach's growling.
Well, we'll catch some fish for breakfast.
How Jesus goes without eating so much of the time, I don't know. Look at him now. Thunder couldn't waken him. I didn't realize how hard he's been working.
People have come from all over Galilee and beyond. I can't believe all that's happened in the last few days. The Roman officer's servant healed with a word. The woman's son in Nain brought back to life. I'll never forget that. What's going to happen next, I don't know.
Yes, and why we've been chosen to be a part of it. Ordinary fishermen and such. I don't know. But believe me, I'm thrilled. Is it my imagination, Peter? The wind seems stiffer and the sky's blacker.
I'm afraid we may be in for a storm real quick. Nothing we can't handle. We've been in storms before.
I'll say.
We better get across as quick as possible. Put your muscles into it. One. Two. Three.
Do you hear that?
The wind. It's coming down the gorge from the heights of Mount Hermon. That means it's going to be a fierce storm. Look, it's becoming pitch black. No more stars.
Here come the waves. Steer into them. Row.
Oh, that one almost swamped us.
You've brought us through many a storm on this lake, Peter. You can do it this time, can't you?
Never been in a storm like this. Heave on those oars. We must find a cove quick. Heave. Heave.
Oh, listen to that wind. I've never heard of this. Right. How can I keep this boat facing the wind? It's impossible. I can't.
Oh, what?
Almost swamped us, that one. Nathaniel, get the bucket. Hey, we're going under. Heave to those oars. Look out.
Here comes another big wave.
The disciples were helpless against the storm that raged across the Sea of Galilee. The storm lashed at the boat, the waves crashed against the sides, and the foamy waters almost buried the men and boat. But in the back of the boat, Jesus slept on, undisturbed by the raging storm. Absorbed in their efforts to save themselves, the disciples had forgotten about him.
Look! Jesus is still asleep. I just saw him in that flash of lightning.
How he can sleep in a storm like this?
Jesus! Forgotten about him. He's the reason we're out here.
Wake him up! We need his help!
Yes.
Master, wake up, wake up!
He can heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Can he save us in this storm?
He sleeps while we're drowning. Look out for that wave! Jesus! Master, wake up!
Look, he's waking up! But what can he do? He's just gonna drown with us.
Lord, we're sinking. Don't you even care? We're all about to drown.
Steady him, he's on his feet! He'll be knocked overboard!
Lord, save us! Please save us!
Never does a soul utter that cry unheeded. While the disciples grasped their oars in a last effort, Jesus lifted his hands, so often used in deeds of mercy, and said to the angry sea,
"Silence! Be still!"
What did he say?
He told the sea to be quiet, like muzzling an angry dog. Look!
The waves have stopped.
They've suddenly stopped. There's not even a swell like there should be after a storm stops.
And there are the stars again.
Just a word, and even the sea obeys him.
Friends, you men of such little faith, why are you frightened? Don't you even yet have confidence in me?
But I mean, we tried.
Peter. As if our boat could have perished with Jesus on board. We had no faith, that's the truth.
What kind of a man is Jesus that even the winds and the sea obey him?
In the early morning, The light of the rising sun touches land and sea in a benediction of peace as Jesus and the disciples make their way toward the shore of Gergesa. Farther up the shore are several young men keeping watch on a herd of hundreds of pigs. This is a miserable job, for the smelly animals are unpredictable and easily angered. They nose through the sand, rocks, and dirt, digging up roots, plants, and small wildlife to eat. It's not surprising that young pig herders would look around for some entertainment other than pigs. Two of these boys we'll call Kersey and Gator, or Ker and Gady, as they call themselves.
Are you sure we should be doing this, Ker? I mean, it's a long climb up to the tombs. Besides, tombs are scary. I don't like them.
Don't worry, Gady. We're almost there. You do want to see the brutes, don't you?
Oh, I'm not so sure now. I mean, it sounded like a good idea back there, but they're pretty scary and tough. Why, the villagers tried to chain them several times with real strong chains and shackles, but these brutes just snapped them into pieces. What if they come after us?
They're strong, but we're faster than they are, I hope.
What was that?
Oh, they always do that. You know, they have devils inside of them. And these two brutes can't control themselves. They even cut themselves up with sharp stones.
Oh, that's scary.
I'll say. And they have blood dripping from the cuts and long matted hair. And their eyes, you should see their eyes.
Oh, shh. There's one now, looking toward the lake.
Oh, and there's the other one.
Oh, they see us run.
Oh, wait. Something's happening. They don't care about us. They're watching those other men, those in the boat.
The two brutes will tear those men to pieces. Oh, look how angry they're getting.
Let's get closer.
Oh, I don't know.
Scaredy lizard.
Well, you go first.
Sure. We'll follow along and keep ourselves hidden behind these rocks and tombs.
This is close enough, isn't it?
Yeah, now quiet.
James and John, you secure the boat while Andrew and I...
What was that?
It came from those two men over there. See, they're just coming out from behind those large rocks.
Look at those two, will you? Oh, they're worse than wild beasts.
They have broken chains hanging from their wrists. And look at their eyes. I'm going to get out of here.
Yeah, come on.
Hey, where's the master?
He's still back there. He hasn't moved.
Well, maybe we better go back and help him. Come on.
Seems like all of us together could handle those two.
The master doesn't seem to be a bit afraid. He's just standing
there. Yeah, but look at the demoniacs. They're starting to charge Jesus. They're going to attack him. He'll be killed.
But Jesus, who had met Satan and conquered him, was not afraid. He raised that hand that had beckoned the waves to rest, and the men could come no nearer. They stand raging but helpless. With authority, Jesus commands,
"Come out, you evil spirit."
Ah! What are you going to do to me, Jesus? Son of the Most High God, for God's sake, don't torture me.
What is your name?
My name is Legion, for there are many of us here within this man. They speak too.
Don't throw us out, not into the bottomless pit. Don't throw us out into the darkness, into the bottomless pit. Send us into those pigs there. Send us into those pigs. Not into the bottomless pit. Into the pigs.
Then go into the pigs.
Still hidden a short distance away, Gator and Kersey look on with amazement.
Into the pigs? Our pigs?
Oh, no. Look, something's happening to our herd. The other herders can't stop them. Quick, run. They need our help.
Oh, I'm coming.
Stop, pigs. Stop!
Oh, they're headed for the cliff! Stop, you pigs! Stop!
What's got into the pigs?
We can't stop them! They've gone crazy!
Stay out of their way. They'll run you over.
There they go, over the cliff. Oh, they've fallen into the water.
They're drowning. We can't save a single one.
Oh, what will our parents say? What will the villagers say?
We'd better go tell them.
The herders ran into the village, breathless, telling everyone the amazing story.
The pigs! The pigs are all dead!
Drowned!
But the madmen are well.
The pigs are all dead? Impossible!
The madmen well? Ridiculous.
We saw it. We saw it all. Gady and I saw it.
Yeah, Kerr and I saw it all. This man from a boat came up to the brutes, to the madmen, and he drove all the demons out of the madmen.
A large crowd rushed to the shore to see what had happened. There they saw an unusual sight. The two madmen were no longer raging and screaming. They were clean, clothed, and sitting quietly at the feet of Jesus, praising God.
Praise the Lord.
We have been delivered from the demons.
Master, you have given us back our minds, our souls.
Thank you, Master.
There they are, the two brutes, and that man we told you about.
But where are the pigs?
Over there, see? In the water.
But they're all dead, floating in the water. You can see they're all dead.
That's what we said.
But we've lost a fortune. There were almost 2,000 pigs, a fortune, and you say that man did it?
He let the demons go into the pigs.
We can't have such a man in our country. Who can tell what he'll do next?
Let's make him leave.
Jesus would not stay where he was unwelcome. So he and his disciples headed back for their boat. The two men who had been released from Satan followed him.
Please, Master, let us go back with you. We have so much to learn from you. We'll follow you to the ends of the earth.
We'll do whatever you say. I beg you, let us go with you.
You are now well. Go back home to your friends and tell them what wonderful things God has done for you and how merciful he has been.
Jesus blessed the two men who had been possessed by demons, and then he and his disciples started back to Capernaum, leaving the two men waving from the shore and praising God. When the boat arrived at Capernaum, the crowd was already waiting for Jesus.
John, James, Andrew, help me tie up the boat.
There's Jesus. He's back. Quick. Go tell Jairus that Jesus is back. He's been waiting for him.
Here comes Jairus now.
Jairus was the leader of the synagogue in the area. He had been anxiously waiting for Jesus to return, for his beloved daughter was very ill. Jairus fell down at the feet of Jesus.
Oh, Master, you must come. My only child is very sick. She's at the point of death. She is just a little girl, only 12 years old. Please come and place your hands on her and make her live.
I will come.
The people crowded around Jesus, and he found it hard to make his way toward the home of Jairus, where the little girl was dying. Among the crowd was the woman who had tried many times to approach Jesus for healing, for she had been very ill for 12 years. She had gone to many doctors and tried many remedies, but none worked. Now she had no more money, and her health was worse than ever. She struggled through the crowd, desperately trying to get close to the Master.
I must get through. I must. I've heard Jesus heals with a touch, with a word. He's my only hope. If he doesn't heal me, then it won't be long before I die. Please let me through. Please, I must see Jesus. Please let me through. There he is. Oh, I'll never get to him. If I can just get close enough, just to touch his robe.
Finally, reaching out with all her might, she managed to touch the hem of his robe. And at that moment, something wonderful happened.
I feel it throughout my body. New strength. A tingling. It's happening. I'm healed. I feel wonderful. Praise God! Praise God! Oh, Jesus is looking around. Will he rebuke me? I better leave.
Jesus knew who had touched him. He knew that power had gone out of him in response to the woman's touch of faith. Now Jesus wanted to assure the woman that it had been all right to reach out in faith as she had done. So he asked the startling question.
Who touched me?
Master, so many are crowding against you, and you ask who touched you?
Someone deliberately touched me with faith, and I felt healing power go from me.
He knows I touched him. He knows I've been healed. Master, it was I who touched you. For 12 years, I've been ill. No doctor could help me. I was getting worse and worse. And then I heard about you, how you heal people like me. But I could not get through the crowd to ask you to heal me. I could only reach out my hand and touch your robe. And praise God, I am now well.
Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace.
While Jesus was talking with the woman, a messenger hurried up to Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue.
Jairus, Rabbi Jairus, the news is not good. She's dead. There is no use troubling the teacher now. Your daughter is dead.
Dead? My little one dead? No, not my little one. My precious little girl.
Jairus, do not be afraid. Just trust me. Come, let us go to your home.
The crowd followed Jairus, Jesus, and the disciples to the home. Already the mourners and flute players were gathering there, playing the sad songs and crying.
Peter, James and John, you come with me, as well as the mother and father. Have everyone else wait outside. Come, let's go in. Stop this weeping. The little girl isn't dead. She is only asleep.
Not dead? You're joking. She, of course, is dead.
See her face? She's dead.
You've come too late, Master. There's no breath, no life.
Our little one is dead. Let us join in sorrow.
Please, have them leave now.
Please, leave this room for a while.
Jesus took the girl's hand, looked at her face, and then said to her,
"Get up, little girl.
Look. Her eyelids are flickering.
She's opening her eyes, looking around.
The color's coming back into her cheeks. She's sitting up."
The little girl not only sat up, she jumped out of bed. Her father and mother threw their arms around her and hugged her. But the little girl didn't know what the excitement was all about. She had something else on her mind.
I'm hungry.
Give her something to eat.
This is a miracle. God is among us. Master, how can we ever thank you? You've given back to us our most precious possession.
I am as happy as you are. Please, don't tell anyone exactly what happened here.
All right, but it's going to be hard. Praise the Lord, we have our darling back.
The miracles in Galilee continued. As Jesus left the house of Jairus, two blind men followed him, shouting,
"O Son of King David, have mercy on us."
"Do you believe I can make you see?"
"Oh, yes, Lord, we do."
Then Jesus touched their eyes and said,
"Because of your faith, the miracle will happen."
I can see light.
Faces. I can see faces again.
The sky, the trees, I can see. Thank you, Jesus.
Next, Jesus met a man who couldn't speak because he was possessed by a demon. Jesus cast out the demon, and immediately the man began to talk. The crowds were amazed. But the Pharisees were not happy with the popularity Jesus was getting from the people. They had their own explanation.
"He can cast out demons because he's demon-possessed himself, possessed by Satan, the demon king."
Even though Jesus' enemies would not leave him alone, he never stopped helping people. He could quiet an angry sea. He could bring new life to the dead. but he could not change the minds of those who stubbornly refused his love. That hurt him deeply. Holy Scripture says, he was filled with pity for the crowds that came, because their problems were so great, and they didn't know what to do or where to go for help, like sheep without a shepherd. And he came to be the great shepherd.